If you have just tuned in, you're now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. My message for today's broadcast is entitled, The Christ of the World. It is based upon the gospel according to John chapter 1 and verse 29. We shall read that verse, but first I invite you to join me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pause before Thee in these moments to thank Thee for the meaning of this day. We thank Thee that Thou hast provided a day for us to worship. We thank Thee for the Church of the Living God. We thank Thee for the Bible, Thy written word to us that teaches us how to live and how to die and how to be prepared to meet Thee. It is our prayer today that as Worth Baptist Hour is broadcast, that the many who shall listen, who are even listening this moment, might come to a full realization that without Christ, they are hopelessly lost for time and for eternity. Truly, dear God, Thou knowest every heartbeat of every person listening today. Thou knowest their cares, their burdens, their problems, the difficulties, the crises, moments that face them even today. And so we pray that through this broadcast, the Holy Spirit might bring comfort to those who are sad, might bring joy to those who are depressed, and might bring encouragement to those who are discouraged and in the valley of despondency. Above all, Heavenly Father, we pray that through the medium of this broadcast, the Holy Spirit might bring salvation to those who are lost. Bless the broadcast, bless every home and business into which it goes, and bless every listener today, is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. As John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan River, Jesus made His approach having come from Nazareth in Galilee to be baptized of John. John and Jesus are both men of destiny. John the Baptist was sent by God as the forerunner or the harbinger or herald of Jesus Christ. He brought the news to the world that Jesus Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, had come. And now the crisis moment of John introducing Jesus, the Lamb of God, to the nation Israel and ultimately to the world. And so these two men of destiny, John the Baptist and Jesus Christ of Nazareth, are now meeting in the waters of the Jordan River. The emphasis here is upon the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Note that John says Jesus Christ removes, takes away the sins of the world. The emphasis then is upon a world salvation. My message, the Christ of the world. Christ does not belong to Texas alone, or to America, or Africa, or Asia, or Europe, or Australia, or the islands of the seas. Jesus Christ, the long-promised Messiah, the Son of God, the bright and morning star, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, belongs to the whole world. He is the Christ of all nations, the Christ of all people. In His vision, He sees all the world. He sees you today. You may think that you are hidden away behind all of the problems and all of the difficulties of your life. But Jesus Christ sees you where you are and as you are this moment. Not only that, but Jesus Christ, the Christ of the world, sees men all over the world as they are today. He sees the learned and the unlearned. He sees the wise and the foolish. He sees the black and the white. He sees the educated and the uneducated. He sees the civilized and the uncivilized, for His eyes are fastened upon the world. Yes, in the vision that Christ has of the masses of the world, he sees every individual heart and every individual life. In fact, beloved, they're listening to the radio today. I'm convinced that Jesus Christ sees you as though you were earth's only needy sinner. He sees you just where you are this moment, in your lost and helpless estate. With his ears, he hears the cries of the whole world. Don't think for a moment that God is too busy to hear your prayer. Don't think for a moment that the ears of Jesus Christ are shut up against your feeble cry. For even this moment, if you will call upon him, he will hear. Not only will he hear, but he will answer, and he will save your never-dying soul. With his arms, he embraces the whole world. In the tender mercy and love of our great God, through Jesus Christ, his Son, he has embraced the entire world, every continent, every country, every community, every county, every city, even you. His arms will embrace you this moment. Right now, where you are, the arms of Jesus Christ are extended to you. When Jesus Christ came from heaven, he came to the world. Again, he did not come to one part of the world, or one continent, or one country, or to one civilization. When Jesus Christ came from heaven as the sacrifice for sins, he came to the whole world. When Jesus Christ died outside the ancient walls of the city of Jerusalem, when Jesus Christ was hanging in open shame between heaven and earth, he died for the sins of the world. Remember, John writes in his first epistle, chapter 2, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world." I say again, when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cruel cross, he died for every sinner. He tasted death for every man. Beloved, if you had been the world's only sinner, if you had been earth's only creature, Jesus Christ would have died for you just the same. Why not pretend in this moment that you are all alone? There's no other occupant in all the world. It's just you, and you're lost, and you're undone, and you're without God and without Christ. Let me remind you that if that were the truth, Jesus Christ would extend his arms of love and mercy to you. For that day that he died on the cross, he died for you. He died for all the sins of the world, and that includes you, and that includes your sin. The world has many masters today. The sun is the master of the day. The darkness is the master of the night. The king bee is the master of the beehive. Gravitation is the master of matter. The monarchs of the earth are masters of the nations. But beloved, Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone masters the world. Over 700 years before he was born, Isaiah said about him in his 9th chapter, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Beloved, Jesus Christ is not struggling for power in the world today. "All power is given unto me," Jesus said, "in heaven and in earth." In the Revelation, John makes it clear that Jesus Christ is the monarch of all nations. For John writes, "The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron." The poet put it this way, "Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. Behold the islands with their kings, and Europe her finest tribute brings. From north to south the princes meet to pay their homage at his feet." Jesus Christ is the true monarch and master of all the world. He's the heavenly potentate. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. He rules over all the kingdoms of the earth. Oh, I know that in this hour it seems that Satan has the upper hand, And truly Satan is the prince of the power of the air at this time. But, beloved, all the kingdoms of this world have been given into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he alone, is the master of the world. Jesus Christ fashioned every atom in this earth. He made everything after his own liking. He made every tree, every blade of grass, every mountain, every valley, every stream, every star, the sun, the moon, the rivers, the oceans. Jesus Christ made all things. Jesus Christ made you. Inasmuch as Jesus Christ is coexistent and co-eternal with God, Jesus Christ fashioned you and your body. We read in the book of Genesis, "Let us make man in our own image." That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All things were made by him. John says in the third chapter, in the third verse of this first chapter, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He stands behind all the forces of nature. He is the magnet that holds all the universal systems together. By him all things consist, the Apostle Paul writes. He is indeed the one central force, the one central power that holds all the universe together today. Jesus Christ, God's Son, come in the flesh, broke the boundary line of all nations and all races and all cultures and all colors and all civilizations to become the Savior of the world. The prophet Isaiah said that he would be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of God's people, Israel. In God's economy, there are two peoples, the Jew and the Gentile. The seed of Abraham today is struggling in the Middle East, but God has promised them the victory. Our great country must, I believe, be in sympathy with and support the nation Israel, because Israel is the one nation that God has pinpointed to be the nation that calls the plays for all the universe. As goes Israel, so goes the world. God promised that land to Abraham in the covenant more than 4,000 years ago, and God will not go back on his word. This land, God said to Abraham, shall be yours and your seeds after you. God is keeping his promise. The land of Israel must be occupied by the Israelis, and the great and final conflict of this age is going on and will be climaxed in that land. On our recent tour to the lands of the Bible, almost everyone with whom we talked referred to Abraham's covenant, or God's covenant with Abraham, and the promise that God made to give that land to the seed of Abraham. They are talking peace in the Middle East, yet there's war going on. And again, the Battle of Armageddon, to be fought there in the Valley of Megiddo, the most used battlefield in all the world, has yet to see the greatest conflict. For in that day the Lord Jesus Christ shall come, and from the throne of his father David in Jerusalem, he shall rule over all the earth. I say again that Jesus Christ is the light to the Gentile world and the glory of God's people, Israel. Only Jesus Christ could say, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth in me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Who else but Jesus Christ could say, "I am the bread of life"? No one else could say, "I and my Father are one." No one in all the world, no character in all history could say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus Christ and Jesus alone has the power to take life and to restore life. Jesus said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "As in Adam all die, even so in Christ Jesus shall all be made alive." Christ said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Jesus Christ is the Christ of the world. He's the Christ of the covenant. He's the Christ of the promise. He's the Christ of the Bible. He's the Christ of God. He is the anointed, the Messiah. He and he alone has within his power today the authority and the power to rule the nations of earth. No scientist can calculate his dimensions. No geologist can fashion a rock like the Rock of Ages. No astronomer can ever discover a star like the bright and morning star. No botanist can ever grow a lily like the lily of the valley. Jesus Christ is the unique Son of God. He is the eternal Son of God. He is the everlasting Son. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys to hell and to death. As we open the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we get a different portrait from each one of them. Matthew says to us, behold your king. For in Matthew's gospel, Jesus Christ is portrayed as the King of Israel. Mark says to us, behold your servant. For in the gospel according to Mark, Jesus Christ is portrayed or pictured as the true servant of Jehovah. In the gospel according to Luke, we find Jesus Christ portrayed as the Son of Man. So Luke says to us, Luke the physician, Luke the Gentile writer of the New Testament, says to us, behold the man God, very God and very man, just as much man as though he had not been God, and at the same wonderful and yet inexplainable time, just as much God as though he had not been man. When we open the gospel according to John, John says to us, behold your God. For John portrays Christ as the Son of God, the unique Son of God. John begins with the words, in the beginning was the Logos, the very essence or expression of God. And the Logos or the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same as in the beginning with God. And John writes at verse 14, and the Word, the Logos, the essence, the expression of God, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I say to you again that Jesus Christ is the unique Son of God. He is past, present, and future. He is yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and he is the same. For Paul writes in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the Christ of God. This is the Christ of the world. He is your Christ today, if you will but own him as your Savior. On Jesus Christ, the eyes of the world are focused. Around him, the thought of the universe revolves. In him, the love of God is made known to all men of Adam's race. From the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world radiates. Outside him, there is only darkness. There is only death. There is only destruction. There is only judgment. There is only wrath. But in him is the light, and this light is the light of all men. By him and him alone, the soul of man is redeemed. Christ and Christ alone paid the price for your redemption. Because of him, we have a purpose in living. No wonder we read by the Apostle Paul the words, in him we live and move and have our being. There is no great wonder that Paul says he is our peace. I am not amazed at all that the wise Solomon in the long ago said, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. This unique Son of God meets the needs of the world that's wicked, the world that is war-torn, the world that is woeful, the world that staggers like a drunk man, the world that is torn asunder, a nation that is divided like our own nation needs the Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ and Christ alone can bring us together. We hear a lot about revivals and crusades, but beloved, we have not experienced in these days the real revival that we need. And Jesus Christ and Christ alone can bring peace to this world. The talks in Paris, the talks of Geneva in the long ago, all of these prove to us that man's effort to bring peace to the world is a futile effort, and that only Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, can bring the peace that we so long for and we so desire in our hearts today. Yes, this world needs Jesus Christ. America needs Jesus Christ. Your home needs Jesus Christ, mister. Your family needs Christ. Your business needs Christ. You need Christ in this moment. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can satisfy the longing of your heart. Only Jesus Christ can give you peace within. Only Christ can turn all of those disappointments into appointments with God. Only Christ can pick you up out of the miry clay of sin, out of the valley of despondency. Only Christ can set your feet upon a solid rock. You need the Lord Jesus Christ today. Jesus Christ is indeed the light of the world. We are living in a dark age, in an age of disillusionment. We have no sense of direction. We can find no sense of direction apart from Christ. Again, I give you His word. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is our hope today. Jesus Christ is the world's salvation. He's the world's preservation. He's the world's consolation. Without Him, there is no salvation. There is no preservation. There is no peace. There is no hope. There is no consolation. Only in Christ Jesus do we have hope today. As you are listening in the closing moments of this broadcast, perhaps you have tried all other things. You've tried going to church. You've tried attending the civic organizations. You've tried turning over a new leaf. You've tried self-reformation. You've tried all of this. But I beg you today, quit your trying and this moment begin trusting Jesus Christ. Remember, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I trust even this moment you will call upon Him. You will confess your sin. You will ask Him to save you and come in. And the Christ of the world can be your Christ today if you'll but let Him. Open up the door of your heart right now and let the Christ of the world be your Christ from this moment on. Until next Lord's Day at this same time, I beseech you to write us. Let us know that you've heard the broadcast. And remember, the Christ of the world can be your Christ. Trust Him right now and keep on praying.